good news of Jesus comes to us in the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went out among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals, and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. Oh God, it must have been overwhelming for Prophet Ezekiel to have heard your voice speaking to him more. And yet we come here today, mortals ourselves, to yet again hear your voice speaking to us. Open our hearts to your voice of grace and love, that we might know your word and hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. They are only. Some historians suggest that the premise behind those three simple words was a major factor leading to the ultimate success of what we know and celebrate as the American Revolution. In the royal courts of King George, the people in the American colonies were disparaged and underestimated. They are only farmers, peasants, troublemakers, and so on. In the tents of British generals, the Continental Army was also dismissed with such words, "They are only ragtag militia, untrained civilians. They are only." It was almost impossible for one of the greatest powers of the world comprehend or believe that anything lasting or important could rise up out of those colonists who were only. Today's gospel from the 6th chapter of Mark reminds us that this attitude and way of thinking wasn't unique to the 1770s. For over 17 centuries earlier, the people of Nazareth in Galilee were offended by Jesus because they were convinced that Jesus was only. There in Jesus' childhood hometown, they had seen him grow up in their little villager's carpenter shop. He's only that boy who learned his dad's trade, who made tables and chairs and made repairs to things that are sitting right here in our own homes. From their perspective, Jesus was only carpenter. And Jesus had grown up and played in the streets with their very own children. "He is only the son of Mary," they said. He is only the oldest of that group of Mary's five boys and all those girls who are Jesus' sisters who are still living here among us today. Jesus is only one of us. Only a regular guy, only a common, ordinary laborer, only someone's child, only someone's brother, only a neighborhood kid. How in the world could it be? It defies all logic. Where did he, Jesus, get all this wisdom he is espousing? Where did he get this power to do all those things that have made him so famous? He is all of them. He's old. The voices of Jesus' hometown in today's gospel remind us how easy it can be for any of us, for all of us, to talk ourselves out of the mighty presence of God right here in our own midst, right in our very own lives every day because of that word only. I am only. He is only. She is only. We are only. They are only. My family is only. It is only another day. And it is difficult for us to truly comprehend the amazing grace-filled truth that God is a God who appears amidst the most ordinary circumstances and situations of human life. Our own life. We human beings who live in human families, just like Jesus did, with daily family struggles and pains and disappointments in life, with children who go to school to learn a trade or eventually get a job, people who get up and go to work every day, who go about life after retirement, who live in towns and neighborhoods with other regular people. We are only. We are only. So we can find it difficult to recognize the amazing truth that it is in ordinary human life that God still chooses to appear. Today's gospel reminds us that we only have to look at Jesus himself. The living truth that God appears in all God's fullness of love and grace in the form of a child who grew up in a little village in Galilee, a brother of a bunch of other brothers and sisters, a son, a worker, a laborer, a carpenter, a family member, and in him, the very presence of God. For it was God's presence in Jesus that gave him the wisdom and gave him the power. As we mentioned last Sunday, it is no accident that Mark pairs this story about Jesus in his hometown with another story that follows right after. And it is another story about people who would have seen themselves as only. For after this encounter in Nazareth with his hometown neighbors, what does Jesus do next? He turns to these other individuals who were only fishermen, who were only brothers who had grown up learning their daddy's fishing business, who were only uneducated Galileans, who were only former tax collectors or zealots. He turns to these ordinary people like you and me who have heard Jesus' two life-changing simple words, follow him. And he turns to these people who were only, and he sends them out two by two with the very authority of God. It is a huge moment, a huge turning point in Mark's gospel. Because in that moment, for the first time, all the things that God had been doing through Jesus now are going to occur through ordinary human beings. We were all. And these 12 would go out two by two, and in them the power of God would come into others' lives, just as it had happened for Jesus. And now these people who were old are the means by which the mighty deeds of God's kingdom can bring change and hope into others' lives. It's the amazing way that this God applies works. God worked through Jesus, who was seen to be only in the eyes of his neighbors. And Almighty God chooses to carry out the kingdom's work of grace through people like you and me and those original disciples who were only whatever in the eyes of the world. But in the eyes of God, in the eyes of God, we are the means by which God's very presence continues to be made known in this world. For it is all not so much about the apostles or us. It is indeed about God. This miraculous God who chooses to work through people like you, like me, who are all living out human life each and every day in this world. In today's second lesson, the Apostle Paul deals with another side of this same issue as he writes to the early Christians in Corinth. You see, those early believers had gotten caught up in their own pride, even being so vain and proud that they had started to boast about their faith and their spiritual experiences. And they started to fall into the trap of thinking that because of that, because of their faith, because of their experiences, they are somehow better than others. And Paul tells them that this is the exact opposite of the life and attitude we are called to live as Christians. He says that even as a great apostle of Christ himself, with all that he had done for the Lord, or all that the Lord had done through him, this is not what he boasts about. He will boast about something else, however. His own weaknesses. For the point of Christian life, he says, is to be a life that points not to ourselves, but points to the power of Christ and the amazing grace of Almighty God. And that there is no greater way to do that than to be open about our own weaknesses, our own mistakes, our own frailties and flaws. Sometimes that runs contrary to our human nature, if not all the time. I know it does for me. We don't want others to know that as people of faith, ultimately we ourselves are only ordinary human beings who make mistakes, who have our own problems, disappointments and failures and pains in life. We don't want others to know about all that. We don't want to put our name on a prayer list. We don't want to air out our laundry. We want to keep it quiet, keep it to ourselves, keep it within the family. And in doing so, we buy into a world which values self-sufficiency rather than a faith in God which values grace. It's easy to forget that on our own, we are only frail, flawed human creatures, wholly dependent on our Creator's grace. We fail to consider how our life, with all its insufficiencies, can be the ultimate living witness to the all-sufficient grace of God. A God who offers forgiveness when we don't deserve it. A God who offers healing and hope and victory when we don't deserve that as well. A God who reveals power in what the world thought was the greatest sign of weakness: the cross. Paul tells the Corinthians about his own thorn in the flesh, about praying to God for it to go away, and then he writes these most beautiful words. But the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. And then Paul concludes, I will boast all the more gladly, not of my strengths, but of my weaknesses. Why? So that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore I am content with weakness, insult, hardship, persecution, and even calamity for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. Those may be some good words to say together this morning. Whenever I am weak, then I am strong. Several weeks ago, our youth visited residents at Rice Estate and delivered meals or Meals on Wheels route. And where they would go, they would ask if there was a song they could sing. And there were two songs that were requested most: Amazing Grace and this little song we learned as children. Jesus loves me, this I know. And what's the other line in that song? They are weak, but he is strong. Now, if you've ever been around me when I sing that, you'll notice I don't sing they. We are weak. He is strong. We are weak, but he is strong. Heart of the Christian witness, Paul reminds us. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus himself sends out those disciples two by two to do the work of the kingdom of God. He tells them not to worry about taking with them the things that will make them self-sufficient. All the stuff we might think about if we were heading out on such a mission: food, bags, extra money, clothes. But rather, he sends them out on their work of the kingdom to be grace sufficient, trusting that God will provide for their needs as they devote themselves to doing the work of the kingdom. Indeed, this is still our mission for the 21st century followers of Jesus who are called to lead. The mission of God's all-sustaining, all-healing, all-reconciling, life-changing grace, which our lives may bear witness to through our own weakness. This weekend here in our nation, we celebrate what occurred 239 years ago through a collection of colonists and patriots who were only. But more than that, we celebrate every weekend how the world has been changed forever by one named Jesus, who was seen as only. Only a carpenter, only Mary's son, only a brother of a bunch of ordinary brothers and sisters. But even more so, we celebrate every day how Almighty God continues to work to bring God's kingdom-changing grace into this world through Jesus' other brothers and sisters. You. Each and every one of you. And people like you throughout the church. We are all. We are only these ordinary human beings with all our weaknesses that bear witness to the all-sufficient grace of God. We are only ordinary human beings who have been baptized into Christ, marked with the cross, filled with the Holy Spirit. We are only people with ordinary jobs, ordinary families, ordinary lives, ordinary fears and failings who are fed each and every week with the body and blood of our Lord. And yet we are called and gifted and blessed and sent to carry out Christ's mission. May that always be only who we are. God's word. Followers of Jesus. Witnesses to the all-sufficient grace of God.